This is Wolf's Campfire, and you're about to listen to Three Scary Security Guard Stories, Volume 3. You can also check me out on YouTube at youtube.com/wolfscampfire. Now, with that said, whether you're sitting around a campfire, on the night shift, or even laying in bed, let my voice soothe your nightmares. Nine Rules for the Security Guard on Halloween Night at the Cemetery, written by Jaguars147. Nine Rules for the Night Shift on Halloween Night at a Cemetery. "You sure you have all the rules mentioned?" my boss said as he gathered his belongings to go home. "Yeah, sure thing. I got them all up here," I said as I pointed to my head. He gave me a nod and headed out the door of the small office to go home. My boss was, well, a little off to say the least. This was my first month as a security guard at the cemetery right around the corner from my residence, and I had just gotten out of college about 3 months ago. The last month of shifts have been boring, sitting around, checking cameras, and doing rounds throughout the cemetery, making sure nothing is out of the order. Exciting, right? I needed a source of income, and this was the best paying job I could find. No real experience needed, the flyer said. My take was that they were desperate to find someone fast, so I took advantage of that. I was hired the day that I found the flyer over the phone. I never even found out the guy's name. Once I came in on my first day, my boss gave me no training. No do's and don'ts, just a verbal list of 9 rules I had to follow and memorize before Halloween night. "These rules are to be followed only on Halloween night," he said. "You must follow these rules to the exact way they are told to you. If you mess up even a small part, well, you won't mess up, because I trust you to follow them word for word." I looked at him, confused because this sounded almost like a threat. Nevertheless, I pulled up my phone and started an audio recording so he could record the list. Once he finished telling me the rules, I was in absolute disbelief. This guy is insane. No wonder why no one wants to work here. This guy is actually insane, I thought to myself. I know every place has certain rules to follow, but to designate a set of rules, insane rules, for Halloween night only? I guess you won't know how I felt until I tell you the rules that he gave me, word for word, exactly how he told me, straight from the recording. Rule number 1, on Halloween night, please arrive at 8:30 p.m. No earlier, no later. Do not walk in these doors until it reaches 8:30, for the love of God, please. Rule 2, stay inside the office until 9:15. Do not leave. Keep yourself occupied, but do not check the security cameras during this time. I'll make sure to turn them off before you get there, so there is no temptation to peek at them. This might be one of the most important rules. If the monitor turns on by itself, do not look either. If for some reason you do look, and you see it has revealed the A section of the cemetery, you must turn off the lights for the office and hide. If it reveals the B or C section and you look at it, your only option is to run. Good luck with this. To make this easier, just cover the monitor with a jacket or blanket, because you will not want to see what happens out there this time on Halloween night. Rule number 3. After 9:15 strikes, you will have 30 seconds to get out of the office. Leave the door unlocked. It is possible you will pass an unnaturally tall figure with no facial features. This is not a Halloween costume, and you must tell him good evening and look him right where his eyes would be. If he doesn't respond, continue on your way to patrol the cemetery. If he says anything at all, you must stand completely still. Do not move a muscle. He might walk around you, but if you keep still until he's done, he should walk away with no problem. Go into the office and slam the door behind him. Rule number 4. You will make your way to Section A. Once you inspect Section A, you will realize the gravestone titled James R. Hackney is being dug up completely. This is not out of the ordinary. Do not, and I mean do not, pay any attention to what is inside the 6-foot hole in the ground. You will not see the rest of your shift if you look down that hole. Just keep walking to Section B and do not look back. Rule number 5. As soon as you cross the bridge from Section A to B, you will notice about a dozen shadow-like figures standing around in a circle around the big oak tree to the left of the bridge. Please listen closely to what I'm about to say. You must find the figure wearing the black top hat. You will walk up behind him and ask, "Am I clear?" If you hear a voice from inside your head say continue, then you can carry on to Section B. If you don't hear anything, you must wait. You can look over to the section at this time, but I recommend keeping your eyes down. Trust me, there will be no physical harm to you if you look, but I can't promise you will be emotionally intact after looking. Rule number 6. Once you get the go-ahead, continue on to Section B. You may walk around and do what you normally do every night here. The only catch is you must stay in this section until 10 o'clock. It should be 9:30 or 9:45 by now, so you won't have to wait long. After the time crosses 10 o'clock, continue on. Rule number 7. After walking out of Section B, you will notice a strange temperature change and lighting change. The time will have jumped to 2 a.m. after crossing. Do not panic, and please do not answer your phone. Your phone will be ringing constantly. As soon as it starts ringing, you will stand still and not move until it stops. It will be calls from your mother, father, siblings, girlfriend, boyfriend, anyone you can think of. You must not answer these calls. It is not actually them calling. It is in fact the man that you saw earlier, the one with no facial features. He is trying to lure you back to the office. You must stay away from that office until I tell you to go back. Your phone will stop ringing after about a half an hour, which leaves you at around 2:30 a.m. You can continue on at this point. Rule number 8. You will notice another time jump. This one, 2 more hours from 2:30 to 4:30. If the time still says 2:30 after the calls stop, you are in trouble. Unfortunately, there's nothing you can do here. You messed up a step at some point if you end up here. You can finally finish your inspection of the Section C. You must be prepared for a woman covered in blood to run up to you begging for help. She will be asking you where her baby is, and if you can come fast to help her, do not be startled, no matter how loud she yells. Tell her you will meet her outside the cemetery in 10 minutes, and for her to wait there. She will run off in the opposite direction, and that's how you know you succeeded. There will be a lot of towels and rags all over the ground covered in blood around Section C. This is the only maintenance you will have to do. Just pick them up and dispose of them in the waste bin closest to you. Rule number 9. After completing the final task, you must run back to your office. Do not look anywhere but ahead of you. You will see figures everywhere. You will hear your name being called from voices that you think you recognize. Just keep running. Once you reach the office, you will see the faceless man leaving the office building. It should be 5 a.m. at this point. He will stop you and either say good work and nod at you, and you will slowly walk into the office and close the door. For the remainder of the shift, you can check the cameras, sit down, and go on with your shift until I come inside and start mine. Or, he would say, come with me. If he says come with me, you will run and lock yourself in the office. Do not fall for his calm, monotone voice. He is anything but calm if you mess up. Do not let him in, and wait for him to stop banging on the door. Once this stops, cover your eyes for the last hour of your shift. Do not look around until you hear 3 knocks on the door. This will be me to relieve you of your shift. You won't be called in for a few weeks to come to terms with what you have seen, and you will be paid a handsome amount of money for your duties. Now that you have listened to the rules as well, I hope you can understand my initial suspicion and why I was so baffled. I thought this was a joke, until I finished my shift. After I arrived at 8:30, my boss left and I decided I was going to just follow the rules given to me, to humble him and be a good sport of the prank. I didn't check the cameras, and I headed out the door. After going outside, the brisk fall air hit me as I saw a tall man walking up to me. I looked at him, and he was actually faceless. It looked so real, and kind of gave me the creeps. I almost forgot to tell him good evening. He looked at me, well, I think he did, and continued on through the door. I shivered a little as I headed on straight to Section A. I arrived at the entrance and searched for James R. Hackney's grave, a grave I always saw, as it was the biggest one there. To my disbelief, it was actually being dug up. I felt sick to my stomach that they would go this far to scare me. So, I hurried past the grave as a wave of uneasiness came over me. This can't be real. I reassured myself as I headed across the bridge to Section B. I scanned for the oak tree, and when I finally found it, I noticed the figures my boss warned me about. I instantly spotted the one with the top hat. I unsteadily scurried over to him and asked, "Am I clear?" No answer. As I stood there, waiting for an answer that never came, I decided to look away from the man and peek over to Section B, because surely the pranksters wanted me to look, since they warned me against it. I froze and felt pins and needles in my hands as I saw myself standing there in the distance. At least, that's what it looked like. Except, I was taller and covered in blood. As the figure that presumably was me stared back, it let out a screech and started running towards me. I was startled and absolutely mortified by this and turned around to run. I looked back, and as it reached its arms out, it completely vanished. As soon as it vanished, I heard a voice from within my head say, "Continue." At this point, I had a million thoughts running through my head as I started to realize whatever was happening was somehow impossibly real, and I felt my mind switch from confused to defensive. I inspected the area until 10 p.m., constantly looking over my shoulder. I checked my phone and saw it was time to move to Section 3. I felt exactly what I was told, a temperature change, and saw the surroundings get just a little bit darker. It was noticeably colder. No way, I told myself, as I reached for my phone, which displayed 2 o'clock a.m. Before I could form another thought, my phone rang right on cue and stopped dead in my tracks. "Dad," the phone displayed. I stared back at the phone. As I looked at those three letters, I never knew my dad, and definitely never had him saved in my phone. I felt a tear form in my eye, because this was a very sensitive topic to me. I let it ring as I got lost in a trance of thinking about how on earth any of this was even possible. The ringing finally stopped, and I let out a sigh of relief. I remember the next rule about the time, and opened my phone again, 2:30. I kept moving on with some stray tears in my eyes, watching my phone turn from 2:30 to 4:30. This was a relief to me because now that I knew this was somehow real, I realized I have done all the steps right to this so far. As I started inspecting Section 3 with cold fingers and numb toes, I heard screaming. Naturally, this scared the hell out of me, and I jumped out of my shoes. I snapped my head around to a blood-covered woman screaming, "My baby! I can't find my baby!" I told her, after a bit of hesitation, I told her to meet me at the entrance of the cemetery in 10 minutes. She nodded and ran off, and I noticed a ton of blood-covered rags all over the ground. Shaken up by her screams, I slowly picked up the rags and then threw them out. I looked around and ran back to the office. The whole run, I didn't see anyone and didn't hear anything, which was weird because my boss said otherwise. I'll count my blessings here, though, and find myself in front of the office finally. The man was leaving. This time, I looked at him in complete terror as he turned my way and said, "Come with me." I wasted no time running past him, into the office and slamming the door behind me. What did I mess up? I yelled over the sound of banging on the door as I pulled a jacket over my head. I shivered in fear for an entire hour until I heard 3 knocks on the door. I shot up, threw the door open to reveal my boss and yelled, "What the hell did you just put me through?" I was mad, although relieved to see him, who looked a lot more colorful and lifelike than he has in the past. He looked at me and smiled at me. "Go home, kid. Get some sleep." I yelled back, "No! I want answers! You cannot just tell me to go after the night I just had." He looked at me and said, "You took care of my cemetery, kid. I thank you for that." He held out his hand for a handshake. "The name is James Randall Hackney, and I've been dead for 200 years. Every Halloween, I leave the cemetery and recharge so my physical body does not perish. You covered me last night, and thank you for that." It didn't take me long to recognize his name was the same as on the gravestone that was dug up. I stared back at him, mouth wide open, speechless. I walked out of that door, packed my house up, and never came back to this town again. I used to work as a security guard. What I saw will haunt me forever. Written by Techno Bros. In the mid-90s, I was a nighttime security guard for a hotel, which I'm not allowed to name currently. I would take all sorts of strange things, whether they be normal or horrific. Up until the early 2000s, I quit my job. Most don't believe my story, as it's far-fetched and abnormal. But what I saw one night completely broke me. This is my story. One night in 2002, on a cold winter night, I went to my office and slumped down into my chair. I had to fill out a form the beginning and end of every night I was there, in case any intruders or electronic malfunctions happened. I heard something that sounded like pounding in the hotel's lobby, so I quickly ran there with a flashlight in hand. However, nothing was there. I felt really stupid afterwards, just letting myself get freaked out over probably nothing. So, I trotted down the hall, back to my office. Once again, I heard pounding. I went back, and still nothing. It was at that point I realized the pounding was not coming from the lobby. It was coming from the basement. I was reluctant. I had watched a bunch of scary movies and read scary stories, which had something to do with the basement. But I knew those were all fictional. So, I went down so I didn't get fired. This was before security cameras were a big thing, so there wouldn't be any real proof of this happening. Once I found out where the pounding was coming from, I froze. There was a giant steel door at the end of the basement. Something was pounding on it from the other side. I say something because I could hear growling. The growling didn't sound human. Then, finally, the door broke down. Without saying a word or showing any signs of hesitation, I ran up the stairs and shut the basement door. I could hear a large, low-pitched scream that sounded like nothing I have ever heard. I ran back to my office and quickly used the phone to call 911. I remember everything. As I told the operator what was happening in a broken mess, all the while the operator was trying to calm me down. Nothing like this happened any other night I was here. The only sign was faint thumping coming from the ground. The previous nights before this event, I would indeed hear thumping, although it was faint and easy to miss. I just thought it was the wiring or mechanics. Now, I knew the real reason. Something was locked here and wanted out. The basement door burst open and I heard heavy footsteps. I quickly hid under my desk and had no choice but to hang up on the operator. I would hear this thing walk through the building, smashing things, trying to find me. It knew I was here and wanted me dead. Finally, the anomaly found its way to the office. I took a good look at it. It was a humanoid figure with its face sunken into its head, its human-looking nose sticking out. It had large claws and a torn-up yellow tuxedo, complete with a giant spike protruding from the top of its head. It wandered around, looking for me, its claws covered in a black substance. I quickly jolted out from under the desk and charged for the exit, the anomaly trailing behind me, hollering demonically. I escaped before the police arrived. According to a letter I received from the hotel's parent company about a week later, the anomaly was missing and the place was destroyed. Various symbols were written on the walls in ink. It was also in some sort of language no one could understand. I don't know what I saw that night, and it's probably best if I never know the truth.
I am a security guard who couldn't save people I knew were going to die. Written by Pika Pika Gamer.
Hello, my name is David. I just turned 17 and I was looking for my first job. Due to specific circumstances that I'd rather not get into, I didn't manage to get my first job when I was 16. But, nevertheless, I was searching on the internet for job openings and I found a great one. Night shift Metro security guard. $15.35 an hour. I applied, letting them know I was on my high school football team and could easily do the job. I did get the job, but turns out because I was the only applicant, which to be honest wasn't really surprising because the city I live in has a high crime rate. and people aren't usually too keen to risk getting mugged during the night. When I arrived for my first shift, it was 11 p.m. roughly. I walked to the security booth overlooking the station, although not packed, a good amount of people milled about. When I walked to the security booth, a middle-aged man greeted me.
"Oh, hello, you must be Mr. Stallings."
"Yes, sir," I said, "and I'm ready to get to work."
"Excellent," he replied. "Just have a seat right there. My shift is ending right about now."
"I'll spare you most of the details." He went on to explain how my job is really simple. After 12 p.m., the station will be closed, because the mayor wanted to prevent muggings and lower the crime rate. So, no trains would be making any stops in the station past 12 p.m. And the last train would arrive at 11:55. If anyone entered the station, it would be my job to escort them out. And if anyone did enter, a notification would appear on the security camera dashboard, as the entrance had a motion sensor. I had access to the station's security cameras, the PA system, a taser, pepper spray, and handcuffs. Not that they would be much of use. And just like that, he left. Eventually, 11:55 came about, and the last of the people got into the train. And except for one homeless guy I had to escort out, the station was empty. That is, until 3 hours later into my shift. I was, funny enough, browsing Reddit when I glanced up from my phone, and I saw someone standing next to the yellow line, facing the track, looking at her phone like she was waiting for a train. She was a woman, probably in her mid-20s, with a beautiful light brown hair, and, well, just drop-dead gorgeous. She was wearing a large red coat, blue jeans, and boots. I got confused, as there had been no notifications that anyone had entered the station, and you'd have to walk right past the booth, which had glass on all sides that faced the station, and I surely would have noticed that red coat walk past the booth. Never mind the fact that it was 65 degrees outside, and she was dressed like, well, I would guess as winter attire. I started to feel like an idiot. I had one job, and that was to keep people out, and I couldn't even do that right. But I was even more confused when I realized that this woman couldn't possibly be waiting for a train, as it was almost 3 in the morning, and the last train came at 11:55. I got up and left my booth, walking towards the woman.
"Excuse me, ma'am. I don't know what you're doing, but you're not supposed to be here. The station is closed."
She didn't even acknowledge me, like she couldn't hear me.
"Ma'am?"
I said again. This time, she took out her earbuds and turned to face me. She looked confused, but then just smiled and waved. "Okay, that's a weird reaction," I thought to myself. All of a sudden, the sound of a train and light filled the right tunnel. What? But he had said there'd be... And then, as the woman was facing me, she just leaned forward under the track, getting hit by the train, and got sucked under. Blood coated the track, and the train didn't stop. It just kept on going, like nothing happened. I stood in shock and then felt weak.
"What the hell?"
I screamed. I couldn't even move. I had about 600,000 questions, and I didn't even know where to start. I ran back to my booth and grabbed my phone and dialed 911. I ran back to the track, telling the operator everything that had just happened, and when I got to the track, I looked down, and there was, I shit you not, nothing. Absolutely nothing. No blood, no body, nothing. Please now take a moment to just imagine the amount of awkwardness and confusion, as I now had to explain to the operator there was a mistake, and now no body. And although suspicious, she gave me the benefit of the doubt, and just assumed I misread the situation. After she hung up, I quickly went to check the security cameras. I rolled back about 5 or 6 minutes and then played, and not only did nobody walk in, but nobody stood at the track either. It was just me, walking out, saying something, reacting to something, and running back to the booth. In that time, there was no train, no woman, just me, looking like an escaped schizophrenic patient. I had no idea what had happened, but I just chalked it up to nerves and hallucinations, which even I knew was bullshit. I wasn't hallucinating, and it actually happened. But I just chose to forget about it and moved on with my life. A little while later, At about 5:15, I looked up to see four people standing at the track, two of them being a middle-aged woman with, I'd say, a six-year-old boy, and two teenagers who were holding hands like your average couple. Again, no notification. Nobody walked past my window. I then proceeded to collectively lose my absolute shit as I jumped up and ran out. "Hey, what are you doing?" I shouted out. Again, they didn't acknowledge my presence, and the dreaded sound of a train filled the station and a light filled the tunnel. I could hear the faint noise of an intercom coming from the tunnel. "We're now arriving at Station 17. Thank you for riding the Metro." After the lady finished speaking, the little boy, who was sitting down, sat up and looked at the train curiously. He walked over the yellow line, which was the safe distance you must remain from the train. He wasn't paying any attention. I started to run at the boy. "Hey, lady, your kid!" I screamed. She looked down and noticed, and in a moment of panic, attempted to grab her kid. At the same time, the young female teenager also noticed, and she too tried to grab the boy. But both of them missed, and instead misstepped and fell into the track. The male teenager tried to save the girl, and he actually grabbed her, but the weight of his girlfriend pulled him onto the track as well, and finally, the little boy lost his footing, and he too fell onto the track. This was all happening at the same time. I tried to grab them. I went to the edge of the track a moment before the train was there. Their faces will haunt me forever. The dazed look of the child, the panic in the mother's eyes, and the pure hopelessness of the teenagers had been burned into my memory. There was nothing I could do. As the train rolled over them, I could hear the screams and then absolute silence as the train rolled by. And of course, it didn't stop. When the train left, the boy had been decapitated and the mother's throat had been crushed. The male teenager's face had been cut in two and the female teenager's legs had been cut off. But thank God, she was alive. But just like that, the vision faded away from me and there was nothing a second time. I didn't bother to call 911 this time. I just sat in my station, bawling my eyes out. As I didn't know what to do, I had to stay till 8, and I wanted to puke. I was so confused and lost. I felt like I needed to go to the hospital, and then it happened again 30 minutes later. A 16-year-old girl was standing at the track, and at this point, I didn't even get up. I just couldn't. I knew it wasn't real, but I couldn't look away. Then, all of a sudden, someone walks into the station, and it wasn't the day shift guard. It was a dude in a black hoodie. I got up and left the booth. "Sir," I said, "do you need something?" He ignored me, instead walking towards the direction of the girl. "Hey!" I said again and followed him. Then, I heard another train. "Oh, no, 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 no," I said. "Please," I said, as my eyes began to water. The man then went to a jog and finally a full sprint. As the train approached, he tackled the girl, who yelped and both collapsed under the train tracks. I didn't bother to even go over. I had no idea what had happened, and out of pure shock, I passed out. I awoke in the booth by the day shift guard. "Hey, are you okay? Do I need to call an ambulance? What happened?" I sat up. It was the middle of the day, and the Metro was in full swing, and I was sitting in the chair. Did I fall asleep? I was mortified. That whole thing was a dream? I apologized, and he explained that this would be a write-up. At this point, it was 8 a.m., and then it happened. The first train would be arriving any minute, and as I stared at the track, I saw something stick out. A woman in a red jacket. To the right of her, a mother and son. Then, to the left of her, I saw two teenagers. Then, I saw a man in a black hoodie enter. I felt a pit in my stomach. I shot up, surprising the hell out of the day shift guard. "Hey, where the hell are you going? What's wrong?" And rushed towards the track. "Hey!" I shouted as I heard the train and an intercom. "We're now arriving at Station 17. Thank you for riding the Metro." Nobody could hear me. My voice was drowned out by people talking, walking, and sprinting to make the first train. And at the same time, each of my three visions came true, at the same time. First, the woman, then the son, then the mother, then the two teenagers, and finally, the man committed a murder-suicide. Everyone in the station screamed. Some people wailed and cried. And me, I just stared. What proceeded was an emergency rescue operation. The female teen survived with the two amputated legs. Everyone else was announced dead on the scene. I'm writing this from the security booth. The local news just arrived, and they want to interview me. Looks like I'll have to leave. I'm lost.